just step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 892. I am your hostess with the mostest for this day in September, Lisa Sheps. I'm joined by my guest co-host, the incomparable Merritt Haynes.
Hello.
You're listening to both of us at KOOP HD1, HD3, Hornsby, streaming around the entire continent and the world at KOOP.org.
Step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
My landlord's yelling that the rent is late.
It is Wednesday, September 2nd, 2026. On the show today, we have La Fenice Spark and their show Barbie Dream Heist. And then later on, we're going to be talking to Clown Carbonara and their show Pantalones. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, London, Boston, and Tyler, Texas. Stick with us. My nose ain't broken, Merritt.
It's not?
My nose ain't broken.
Oh, that's the name of the song.
That is the name of that song. And actually, I know because I did not do the script right that you don't know what show that's from. But before you answer, I need to welcome you here as a new co-host.
Yes, thank you. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to have you here. And we haven't seen each other in a long, long time.
A really, really long time.
Yeah. So I'm like super duper stoked that you're here.
Yay.
And I know you want to talk about Curtain Call.
I do want to talk about
it. But we're not going to do that right this very second.
That's fine. We don't have to.
And then I'm going to hold off talking about what I was going to talk about because I want to introduce the other folks. But
okay.
Before I do, what have you been up to? Tell me, generally speaking, you can't mention Curtain Call.
I will not. Okay. So as Lisa mentioned, I have not done a full-blown production in Austin in a long time.
FBP, but I've been, we call those,
very, very active in my singing career. I do mostly liturgical church music in Catholic churches around town, mostly at St. Austin's and St. Teresa's. And I sing in multiple choirs. And this summer, I went on a tour with the Masterwork Singers to Paris, France, and to Lisieux. And we did an international premiere of Elaine Hagenberg's Eterna Via, which is her second major work. And it was incredible.
Très bon.
Yes. Oui, oui.
Parlez-vous français?
Oh, no. I only learned like the most minimal amount for the trip. And with the pressure of being on the radio, I don't think I could remember anything.
I love me some Paris. I like Paris in the summer when it sizzles.
Oh, I was there during the historic heat wave and it was so hot. Literally, we were there on the hottest day in recorded history that France has ever had. And then the next day, it beat that record. So I was there yet again for the hottest day in recorded history in France. I don't know if it's been beaten since then, but it was hot. It was like 104, 106.
Well, and now you're here in Austin.
Yes, but at least there's air conditioning.
Yes, there is. Let's introduce the folks that are joining us here today. I'm so excited to have Sharky Meehan here. Hi,
hello,
Sharky.
That's me. I'm Sharky Meehan.
We have Aidan Miner.
Hello, that's me.
That's you. Oh. You're over there.
I am.
Damn. I was going to say, they're in the order that I did, but you're not, because over here, who I thought I was talking to is Alex Curry. No, Alex. Alex.
Henry.
Henry, and I wrote Henner.
Oh.
So we're going to change your last name to Henner.
All right.
Alex Henry.
Hello.
And then Ace Curry.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
So did y'all recognize that song that I played when I said my nose ain't broken?
No.
No.
No. No. It is, and I wish Nicole were here. She is still out of town. But it is from Rocky the Musical, which we like to call Rocky Das Musical, because it started in Germany. And it was in German. And Rocky, of course, is about Rocky Balboa, and it's the show for Rocky. And the reason why I played it is because there's going to be a premiere of it in Long Island New York, running August 22nd through the 20th. Rocky the Musical at CM Performing Arts.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, if Nicole were here, she'd talk about how she saw it when it was on Broadway and how they had a full-size boxing ring.
Oh my gosh.
That actually pushed out on top of the audience.
Wow. That is such so awesome.
I wish I could have seen that.
That's crazy.
And I was just talking to somebody yesterday who happened to also see it. And we were talking about two things that, Nicole and I talk a lot about is Rocky Das Musical and King Kong.
Oh my.
Two terrible shows with amazing technical stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
King Kong, of course, had a huge puppet that was very big. I'm making things with my arms. So they are similar in that way. So I had to play. I looked for the German version, which I thought they had made a recording of, but I couldn't find it.
Mm. Yeah.
So that was what. And I keep looking at my script as if it's going to tell me. But before I look at my script, I should tell my listeners that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of Co-op, its board of directors, volunteers, staff, or underwriters. It's just my crazy crazy opinion. I have to say that, Merritt, because talking about theater is so controversial.
Yes.
It brings up the hackles, and we have to be careful that we're not overrepresenting ourselves. We talked a couple weeks ago. Who has ever heard of a little show called Les Miserables?
Oh, yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I've heard of it.
Do you love it?
Yes.
A few times.
Love,
so
hate.
I haven't actually seen it, but I grew up in like middle school with kids singing it at me, and I was like, oh, it sounds quite delightful.
You know they have a movie.
Do they actually?
Yeah.
I need to get on
Hathaway.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
I know they have a lot. Actually.
Anne Hathaway. And actually, I liked the movie. Did you see it?
I did. And I also liked it.
With the exception of?
Of course. We know.
Of our lovely man playing Javert.
The joke, you know, these are the people that cast Russell Crowe in a musical.
Yeah. So Russell Crowe played Javert. Mm-hmm. I also believe, and people are sick of me hearing every time I talk about Les Mis, I talk about how I think Javert's that role is awful. I just don't like it. That's the end of the story. Les Mis, I did bring it up here. Let's see why I want to talk about it. We talked a few weeks ago about how the rights became available after it stopped going on tour, and everybody and their dog is doing it, which is funny. I got home last night, and my two dogs were doing a scene from it.
Really?
Wow.
That's
my dogs
impressive.
Never do Les Mis at my house.
What do they do?
You know, I need to train them. I don't think they've ever put on a musical.
What do you, because it's important. Yeah. What are your dogs' names?
One of my dogs' names is Frankie, and the other one is
Johnny.
Tui. You know, Tui, he is named after the plant in Little Shop of Horrors.
Of course, Tui.
Yeah.
Have you done Little Shop?
I have done Little Shop. I was Ronette in Summerstock Austin's 2009 production.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Did I see that? I may have seen that.
Yeah. Long, long time ago.
That
2009.
Was
already.
That's the year you were born?
I was born then.
Me too. Yeah,
me too.
I know. That's when I was you guys' age.
No.
/ actually a year older.
Who else has dogs?
I have so many animals.
Okay, we're going to go down and say, we're only talking dogs, because those are the only ones that really matter.
What?
No, I'm teasing. Dog's names, quick.
My dog's name is Lula.
Lula.
Luna.
Luna.
Ooh.
Toto.
Of course.
Oh. Bigwig, Riot, and Ripley.
Oh, my God. And I have Whiskey and Foxtrot.
Aww.
It's funny. I did a show called, you may have heard of it, The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. Doesn't strike a chord.
1974, and I played your dog.
Aww.
Oh, wow.
I played Toto. Les Mis has had an opening at Hudson Valley Shakespeare, and it was reviewed by the New York Times, by Helen Shaw. So there are, as I mentioned, since they've licensed, they've already approved 107 new productions.
Oh my.
I won't spend a lot of time talking about this because I don't think she liked it. It was one of the reviews that I read that I went, I'm not sure whether she liked it or not. Mm-hmm. So that's it. I chose to talk about this because I thought I was going to play Les Mis at the top of the show. And then Rocky came up. And then what could I do? I had to go with that. So let's see what the next thing on my list is. Oh, the Kennedy Center. This is controversial. So we have talked ad nauseum about the Kennedy Center and what our lovely president has been doing to not only the Kennedy Center, the National Endowment for the Arts, and all sorts of other creative things that are vital to the industry that we all work in.
And changing the names of bodies of water.
Changing the names of bodies of water. And, okay, so many people are... Okay, this is so not to do with theater. But when he changed the name of the Gulf of Mexico, I went to just check Google Maps, I said, they won't have changed it. And they had.
Yes.
And they have already changed Lake Ontario.
No, wow.
I am so disappointed in our business leaders.
I saw someone on Facebook post that the acronym used to be HOMES, and now we can change it to SHAME.
Can we?
Say,
Superior Huron America, if you're going to do that, Michigan and Erie.
Okay.
Oh, you can.
Because the acronym used to be HOMES.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Shame.
Anyway. So he had put his name on it, and then he was told to take it off, so he took it off. And so now he and his allies are voting to close the center down for renovations and close everything over until Trump's name can be added back.
Oh my gosh.
Right. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Renovations.
Obviously.
Is that just, the gall of this man is killing me. And the sycophants that surround him also gall me. And when you take companies like Google, and I believe also, not Waze, Apple Maps also changed it. But interestingly enough, Waze did not change it or had not changed it as of a couple of days ago. And Waze is owned by Google, I thought. Anybody?
I don't know.
I don't actually know.
So I should say that our folks from La Fenice Spark are on the younger side. Are y'all very political?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Oh, good. Good. Well, good. Everybody, please reference that disclaimer I gave a little while ago. We continue to deal with all of this backlash from Trump and his hatred of diversity and inclusion, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Mm-hmm. And shame on him. Shame on all of those people.
Shame.
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 Perfect tie-in.
Yeah, Great Lakes on him. So anyway, that is that. Oh, I keep looking at the script as if that's going to tell me something. This show, I saw the title and I had to pick it up, and it's actually a really tough show, and it's called Here Are the Blueberries. Have y'all heard of this?
No, I haven't. Who is it written by?
I'm going to tell you as soon as I find the article. It's called Here Are the Blueberries. It was a Pulitzer Prize finalist. And it is written by Moises Kaufman and Amanda Gronich. Moises Kaufman, of course, is part of the Tectonic Theater Company, and they wrote the Laramie Project. So
interesting.
Yeah. So Here There Are Blueberries is about it's a true story about museum archivists wrestling with photographs of Nazis and social life.
Wow.
And it basically tells the story of people that worked in the concentration camps. Mm-hmm. And the homes that they lived in right outside the concentration camps, and how their life was, I'm doing air quotes, normal, around all this horrificness. And evidently they found these pictures and they didn't know what to do with them, these archivists. Yeah. So it's being done at the Barrymore Theater It opens on November 9th after a preview start on November 2nd. It is directed by Moises Kaufman. Has everybody seen The Laramie Project or know of The Laramie Project?
I have not seen it.
I have not seen it either.
Also a movie, by the way.
We're all
very well done. I'm sorry. Meryl Streep, amongst others, in it.
Devo.
Do you know what it's about? Okay, well, The Laramie Project was about when Matthew Shepard was killed. Mm. And this group went down into the town where he was killed and basically interviewed all the townsfolk, and they built this play around it. And it's called the Tectonic Theater Company. It's pretty amazing. And you know what? I said it was a movie. It may be, but I was thinking Angels in America.
Oh. And I haven't seen The Laramie Project, but I did listen to, there was a choral work that was made about Matthew Shepard a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And I listened to that. It was very beautiful. But
please tell me you know who Matthew Shepard was.
I do.
Well, like,
y'all sort know?
Of.
Okay.
Sort of.
Your homework is to research okay. this. Matthew Shepard yes. was a young man who was murdered for being gay. Mm-hmm. He was left beaten and half alive on a fence in Laramie, Wyoming.
Yes.
And he died.
Mm-hmm. I know this.
And it became, a huge thing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not an isolated incident. I mean, but it was probably the first time, and I don't remember the year that it took place. Do you?
It's like 1999-ish.
It was in the 90s or 80s. Yeah. It was like the first time.
It was in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was the first time something like that had really come to the fore.
I remember my mom talking about this.
Yeah. So this show has been done a lot before. It was workshopped in Miami in 2018. It had a post-pandemic production at La Jolla Playhouse. Shakespeare Theater Company and New York Theater Workshop did it in New York. It's had toured the McCarter Theater, the Wallace Annenberg Theater, Berkeley Rep. It's been everywhere. And it was also staged in London.
Here.
So it sounds good. I don't know what the Here There Are Blueberries. I don't know what the title refers to, but I'm guessing there was something as mundane and ordinary yeah. as a blueberry yeah. bush or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like I have read about this at one time. It's like vaguely in my brain. And I think it has something to do with that, like finding the beauty in a terrible situation.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
even though we're going through this horrible, horrible thing, there's blueberries here. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. And there's a movie called The Boy in the Striped Pajamas.
Yes.
Which is basically, did you see it?
I've seen this one.
Yeah. So that was about a son of a prison mm-hmm. official
yeah.
who lived outside the prison befriending a boy who was wearing a striped mm-hmm. uniform. Anyway, but that was really good. You know what? I'm going to take what I like to call a side tangent, which I forgot to talk about earlier. Merritt Haynes, you're involved with a thing called Curtain Call here in
yes.
Austin, Texas.
Yes, I am.
Tell people what it is before you say anything about the news that you're going to say.
Certainly.
What is Curtain Call?
Of course. So Curtain Call is an open mic that has been going on in Austin, a musical theater open mic, for many years. It actually started in 2009, and it's been at various locations. I started singing there in 2012, back when it was at Rusty's. It was created by Robert Joseph Cross, and Dustin Struhal was the original.
Struhal.
Yes. He actually played for my wedding. It was amazing.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love Dustin. I haven't seen him in a while.
He's great. And so we are now, we've changed locations a couple of times, and there have been times where it was on and times where it was off. It has not had a home since April of 2025 until now.
We have a home
Monday,
for Curtain Call.
We have a home for Curtain
Call. Before you tell people where it is, I need to say that I used to go to Curtain Call quite a bit, especially back when it was at the place downtown.
Well, it's been at Rusty's. It's been at Ringside at Sullivan's, 219 West, and Brass House. Brass House. I did a lot of Curtain Call at Brass yeah. House. We were there a long
yeah.
time.
I used to love to go to that. So it's found a home. Where is it? I hope it's somewhere down close to downtown.
Well, new home of Curtain Call is actually up north. It is at Prohibition ATX, which is located at 9112 Anderson Mill Road, Suite 400B. It is a speakeasy that is literally designed as a speakeasy to where it's unmarked from the outside and you have to enter behind a bookshelf.
Oh, that's
but
so
we will
cool.
have people to direct you and help you discover the location of Prohibition ATX.
That's so
that cool. is so fun.
Yes, it's the show is at 8 p.m. on Monday, and the signups for singing start at 7.
Where can folks go to get information?
Instagram, I believe, is Instagram. The best place for okay. it. Yes, the curtain call page on Instagram, but there is information also on Facebook. I'm sure there's some kind of website, but I know that Instagram has been like the primary yeah. form of advertising.
People are doing that. That's bad for Luddites like me. and so there's a... It comes back when? This coming Monday?
Yes, on Labor Day, this coming Monday.
Will you be singing?
I will absolutely be singing.
What will you be singing?
Ooh, is that a surprise? Well, my plans are that I plan to sing Nothing from A Chorus Line, which actually is a song I haven't sung in probably almost 20 years. Yeah,
I felt nothing.
A teenager. And then also, I usually prepare two songs. So I've never, ever done Nothing at Curtain Call, despite the fact that this song, you know, I'd been singing since I was a teenager, but I have sung A Way Back to Then from Title of Show many, many times. And I do really want to do that as my second song. So that's my plan.
Now, did you do Title of Show when Austin Theater Project did it?
I wish I was doing something. I couldn't do that show. I was doing okay. something else at that time, but I absolutely love Title of Show. That is like one of my dream shows to be in. I love that show.
It's very meta.
It is very meta. It's like one of my favorite shows of all time.
You know, the show that I did on Broadway makes an appearance when they talk about the flops.
Oh, let me yeah. think. Oh, the apple tree?
Nope. It's called Oh Brother. It makes a very quick appearance in that song. Very quick appearance. Well, that's great. I'm so happy for Curtain Call. And I know that Kathy Sheridan,
yes,
is she hosting it?
Kathy Sheridan is the host and Brett Backus is the accompanist.
I don't know Brett Backus, but I love alliterative names.
Oh, he's amazing.
So that's good.
He is, and this might be why you don't know him, Lisa, but he is not a musical theater guy. He's actually a classical pianist, but he's so extremely talented and he can play just absolutely anything that you put in front of him. And he's such a good sport about it. We do like kind of tease him about the fact that he's a classical accompanist, you know, because he doesn't typically recognize the songs that people are bringing in unless they're like the most well-known thing ever. And I've made him do some weird stuff. So we love Brett.
I don't want to know. This is a PG-rated show.
Oh, I mean songs.
Okay, amazing. Curtain Call. Get information on Instagram. I'm really happy to come by. We will help me remember to re-mention it when we get into our local section.
Absolutely.
But we have basically run out of time, so I need to make sure we give enough time for our guests. So we missed a lot of stuff that I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about Rupert Grint going into Cursed Child and all the mishigas and controversy around that. But we don't have time. And also Six... is closing. Six has been running since pre-pandemic. It is actually set to open the day that Broadway closed. Have anybody seen Six?
Oh, I love Six.
I did see Six on Broadway. I did see Six.
Good.
I saw Six when it came here on
which
the
time?
Tour.
This last one?
This last one, I think. It was recently.
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're closing. Such a long story and a long route to get there. I said they were set to open the night that Broadway shut down. They were the first show to reopen post-pandemic. So good for them. Okay, so you can see all the things that we didn't talk about at offstageonair.com, including the show that was put together by, it was Mary Poppins?
Julie Andrews,
thank you. This is what happens when you get old. Oh my God. It's the musical. The Great American Musical. Mm. It's about a singing mouse.
Not a musical.
Anyway, but the last thing I want to talk about, to give ourselves a little bit, last week we talked about the passing of Dolly Parton. And we spoke about her in pretty detailed, but who we didn't talk, we talked about Tim Curry a little bit because he died right before the show started. So I just want to leave off with just telling folks that the New York Times has a great picture history of him, of Tim Curry, and that he, things that we didn't know about him, he was offered a whole bunch of contracts, recording contracts as like rock singer back in the day. He actually recorded 3 albums. He has an Emmy nomination and 3 Tony nominations. I'm guessing he doesn't have a win for any of those. But it's a great, it's a great pictorial history of his career. What a loss. And I did talk about last week, the best, if you saw the television series, The Riches. It was about a family of grifters. He played in it with Minnie Driver. But it had the best, at the time, this is pre-marriage equality. Nobody knew what trans people were, but the best depiction of a trans character in the history contemporaneously. It's like, because they didn't even, this actor, or this child's trans status had really nothing to do with the show. He just happened to be there. Anyway, so we are going to go out now with hearing Tim Curry singing from the show he did on Broadway, Spamalot. And this is called I'm All Alone. We'll be right back.
I'm all alone, all by myself.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Merritt. We're having so much fun. And we're just going to continue to talk about Curtain Call.
Okay, great.
That's the reason why you're here.
Absolutely.
Curtain Call at Prohibition something or other.
Prohibition ATX.
ATX.
At 9112 Anderson Mill Road.
Okay. Let's reintroduce our guests for the real reason why they're here, which is La Fenice's Spark and their show, Barbie Dream Heist. And we have the artistic director of Spark.
That's me.
And the star of the show, or one of the leads.
One of the leads.
Sharky Meehan.
That's me, in the flesh.
Hi. Welcome, in the flesh.
Hi.
We also have Alex Henry.
Yes.
Who is the costume designer.
Yes, costume designer, and I sew most of the costumes, but...
So
Ace helps a lot.
Ace helps everything. And speaking of that, we have Ace Curry, who's playing Closet.
Hello.
Hello. And then last but not least, Aiden Miner, who's saxophone Ken.
That is me, yes.
And fight choreographer.
Yes.
I hear.
Yes.
Ace is also our stage manager.
You didn't say that. As an ex-stage manager here, rock on. Sharky, tell us about this show.
Yes, it is a commedia. I wouldn't say commedia, but it's a commedia inspired show about Barbies, obviously. But the Barbies are doing a fashion show, and they realize that. Have you guys ever seen Barbie's Life in the Dream House?
I'm gonna say no.
Okay. Well, there's a robot closet. If you know, you know. And that closet is turning evil, and it's decided he's gonna make a generative AI fashion show, and the Barbies have to take it down.
Oh, amazing. Wow.
Yeah. Now, did y'all write this?
Yes.
We did.
Cool. So y'all devised it?
By our own hands, yes.
Yeah. Yes. How long have you been working on it?
Since May.
May? That sounds right.
Yeah, that's
I want to say May.
Sharky, tell us about Spark. This is your brainchild,
This
yes?
is my little brainchild. Yeah. Spark, I started it kind of in collaboration with my mom because I kind of grew a love for commedia. Through her. I'm very privileged to have
and
a...
And that's
such...
Kate Meehan, yes. For those of you listening.
I'm very privileged to have like an in to commedia like I do with my mom. And I also was wanting to direct a play. So it was kind of like two happy mediums where my mom was needing a kid program and I needed to get my direction juice out of me. So we collaborated and made a program with the goal that like every... It's very teen oriented that we do all the things. There's no outside... adults telling us that we can't do something. It's all what we want to make, not some dumb, boring play that some rando adult is telling us to do. It's
I don't
the
like
stories.
Adults. So most of you are still in high school. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Amazing. And one of you has just recently graduated.
Yes. Yes. Class of 26. Woo.
Mazel tov. Class of 76.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
Hey.
Yeah, I know. I'm old. Well, that is great. Is there any music in this show?
There is.
Lots.
Lots of music. Tell me about the music.
We have Charlotte Smith. Is Smith her last name?
Smith.
Yes. Charlotte Smith is our, she wrote the score. Well, she didn't write the score. What's the word?
Composed?
Well, she didn't write it. It's like a mixed mash.
Compiled it?
Compiled it?
Put the music together.
Yeah. She put the music together.
She's
a
music editor.
But there. She is our rock star Barbie.
Great.
She's kind of compiled a bunch of like Mitch Max songs. I think we got some Atomic in there, some Chapel. What else? We have other things.
Oh, you know what? So I'm actually looking at the cast list right now.
Uh-huh.
There are 5 Barbies.
There are?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are the other Barbies?
There's Rockstar Barbie, Magician Barbie, which is me. Hi, I'm Magician Barbie.
Jester Barbie.
Jester Barbie.
Superstar
and Lawyer.
And Lawyer Barbie, okay. Yeah.
And Ace, you play the bad guy,
if you
would mind me using that term.
I play generative AI, which breaks my heart, but it's also a lot of fun.
So how evil are you?
Just about as evil as, regular AI, just destroying the planet and all of our brains.
You know, the evil character is the fun one to play.
Absolutely.
You know, I have worked in shows where people just get really upset playing the bad guy,
mm-hmm.
But they're the funnest.
They're so fun.
They're the funnest mm-hmm. to play. Tell us about Closet. What is generative AI like bereft of personality, like I would think, or do you? What's your inner monologue? What are you telling yourself as you perform this?
Oh, well, generative AI is just as creepy as you think it is. Everything it says and does is absolutely disgusting, and it's just been a lot of fun to kind of explore the mind of a computer. I've always been a stage manager. This is my first time acting in 5 years at this point, so it's been a lot of fun to do a less serious role and really explore my evil side.
that's amazing.
Evil twisted side.
Aiden, tell us about Saxophone Ken.
So
I did notice. I will notice that there's only one Ken character.
There is.
It's true.
The one and only. So Saxophone Ken, we kind of started it off as in the past. These Barbies and Ken were together. They were a group, and they had a band. And so we needed a second character to kind of like tie the music together. So part of the story is that the Barbies kind of went their separate ways and now they're coming back, and that's why this whole thing is a thing in the first place. So Ken is kind of, he's finding himself playing the saxophone because he now has something to identify himself as. Throughout the play, Ken especially talks a lot about individuality and like being yourself as a person. So the saxophone is kind of his thing, his happy place to play. So it's really fun to play on stage.
And do you play saxophone?
I do. Lots of careless whisper.
Well, that's amazing. Y'all are going to do a little scene? We weren't sure whether we were going to do one or not.
Yeah,
we can.
We can.
Okay, so do we want to set that up? And who's doing it?
These two nerds at the bottom.
Okay, those two nerds. Somebody want to set the scene up for us?
What scene are you guys doing?
We're going to do when we meet for the first time.
Yeah, so when I'm going through.
Yeah, so the Barbies have just discovered that Closet has made an AI fashion show that's combating against their fashion show. So they say, not happening. So they go off, and then Ken's like, wait, my saxophone. And he gets interrupted by something.
Okay, great. Well, this is Aiden Miner and Ace Curry doing a scene from La Fenice's Sparks, Barbie's Dream Heist.
Wow, this house of weaves is really confusing to weave through, but at least I've got my saxophone. Ken, or should I say, Saxophone Ken, now it's time to show them your sexy moves. What's this? The evil button. It looks like it's toggled to on. That can't be good. What is happening?
You're being fondled.
What does that mean?
AI overview. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, fondle is a transitive verb that means to handle tenderly, lovingly, or lingeringly.
Mainly, it just seems like you're touching my butt.
Yes!
Ta-da! And scene.
Amazing. What fun. We're running out of time, but you all devised this and others as well. What did you start with any preconceptions? How did you come up to Barbie and AI? How was that process?
I can say just from our high school experience, AI has like taken over schools. Like everybody is just using AI to do their homework. So there's just like this like brain, like everyone at our school is like that. So it's just something that we see a lot around us. And also we wanted to use it with a topic that we all grew up with, because a lot of La Fenice shows are like something that they care a lot about.
Well, wonderful. When does the show run?
It's running, it opens this Friday, September 4th, and it runs till September
the 13th.
13th, thank you.
Yeah, I have all the information. I just wanted to hear it from you. And you're doing it at the Butterfly Bar.
We are.
Yes. In the Butterfly Bar itself or outside?
Outside on the stage.
Uh-huh. Okay. Oh my gosh, I'm already going to the Butterfly Bar on Friday.
So. Oh my gosh.
Hey, I don't know if the person I'm meeting knows that your show is happening, but...
Now
it's
do.
Happening at 10 p.m. So
okay,
it's
well, I'm gonna be there.
10 p.m. Yeah. That's the time.
Yeah,
oh my it's god, it's past my bedtime.
I'm fine.
it is. Okay, great. And where can folks go to get more information?
They can go to pastasquad.org or La Fenice's website to get the tickets.
Great. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Great. Well, that was Sharky Meehan, Aiden Miner, Ace Curry, and Alex Henry of La Fenice Sparks Barbie Dream Heist. Playing September 4th through 13th at the Butterfly Bar. For more information, you may visit LaFeniceAustin.org or...
PastaSquad.org!
PastaSquad.org. And we'll go out with From 9 to 5, because it was written by Dolly, Backwoods Barbie. We'll be right back. And we are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air on 91.7 FM. Co-op radio here in Austin, Texas, streaming around the bloody world at koop.org. I'm having so much fun, Merritt.
I'm having so much fun, too.
So this is the part of the show where we talk about local stuff, and we never have enough time to really do it.
Mm-hmm.
But before we talk about the local stuff that I wanted to talk about, I just want to remind folks about Curtain Call.
Absolutely. So Curtain Call is Austin's premier open mic night for musical theater, and it is coming back after a hiatus, and it's going to be at Prohibition ATX, which is our brand new location for this event. It is on Monday, September 7th. The sign-ups start at 7 p.m., and the show is at 8, and it's located at 9112 Anderson Mill Road, Suite 400B.
I believe we have the address memorized now.
Hopefully.
Is it going to be every other Monday? How often are y'all doing it?
So Curtain Call itself is the first Monday of the month.
Okay.
That's when it is. There may be other opportunities and events that may be occurring.
One never knows.
But at this time, Curtain Call is the first Monday of the month.
Okay. Folks, you know that Frontera Fest, which has been going on here forever at Hyde Park Theater and Scriptworks. They are taking applications for shows. You can get information at HydeParkTheater.org to do it. Have you ever done Frontera Fest?
I have not.
And then we also have a change of the guard here. We have Alexander Noland.
Hi.
Yeah, yeah. Hello. Oh, you know what? I'm going to turn your microphone on. Try that.
Hi, hello.
And Kyle Romero. Why? Oh, because I turned the wrong microphone on.
Hello.
I'm new. I just started this. Have y'all ever done Frontera Fest?
I have, yes. Have you ever done it, Xander?
I have not. I've watched a lot.
It's a great thing.
It's awesome. I love that our city has that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can get information at HydeParkTheater.org. Now let's just go through our calendar so that we can get to our guests and hear their thing. So I'm going to start. Zach Theater has Come From Away through September 27th.
Kung Fu Cowgirl Productions, Kung Fu Cowgirl the Musical, is September 3rd through 13th at Zilker Hillside Theater.
City Theater has Avenue Q, which happens through September 13th. Have you heard of that show?
Oh, I have. So okay. Lisa's saying this because I was in Avenue Q with Austin Theater Project twice. I was Kate Monster.
Yep. And she did a great job.
Now Thank you. Now... The Vortex, Fireworth, September 5th through 26th.
Black Rose Theater ATX has And She Was Loved through the 12th at Hyde Park.
Archive Theater has Yellow Wallpaper from September 4th through 20th.
At Trinity. House of Brimstone, Holy Hell 2, Clergilicious is at the stage. Austin? Oh, I don't have a date. I forgot to look that up. You can find it.
Austin Playhouse, Primary Trust, September 11th through October 4th.
Austin Shakespeare's Verdict of Love, September 11th and 12th at Austin Opera's new theater, the Butler Theater.
Broadway in Austin has Mrs. Doubtfire from September 22nd through 27th.
And then Austin Rainbow Theater's got the Recipe Box opening September 4th to the 19th, and it is at Ground Floor Theater. Auditions, only one audition right now, and it's Shrewd Productions, production of Bad Books. Their audition is on September 3rd, and I'm going to run right into Today in Theater History. This is the funnest part of the show. We have two openings. One was Waitress, which opened in 2021.
Yes.
You like that show?
I love that show.
I do not like that show.
Oh, speaking of curtain call, gosh, I've sung She Used to Be Mine.
Well, I think some of the music is good, but I didn't like the show.
Oh.
All right. And then I forgot to look this up because I don't know what it is, but back in 1926, Alexander, you remember that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
A show called If I Was Rich. Not If I Were a Rich Man, If I Was Rich. Don't know it.
No relation?
No relation. It's the birthdays are Tuck Watkins. I cannot pronounce this name, and I know it's easy. Conal Reeves. I can't pronounce it.
Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves. I cannot pronounce his name. Chad Kimball, RJ Benjamin, Douglas Margulies, Marge Champion, Caroline O'Connor, and finally the amazing, incomparable Joshua Henry. Everybody makes fun of me. I cannot pronounce that name.
Wow. You want to know something, though, Lisa? You know whose birthday is tomorrow?
Yours.
It is.
Wow. I meant to say something about that, but I didn't want to put it in the script.
Hey, it's fine. I would love to have it in the script.
I'd sing you my birthday song. Maybe I'll do it after we go. It's your birthday. You're going to be 20?
I'm going to be 36.
Amazing. I remember 36. I'm twice that. Yikes. Okay. We are going to take a little break. We're going to listen to the dulcet tones of Joshua Henry when he did Into the Woods. He was one of the princesses. He's singing along with Gavin Creel. May he rest in peace. And this is Agony. We'll be right back.
High in a tower, she sits by the hour.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On Air with Lisa and Merritt. Merritt, I'm having so much fun with you.
This has been so great.
Yep. So, well, let's just jump right in so we can talk to our guests. I've been so excited to talk to these guys. We just introduced them, but I'm going to introduce them again if I can find the right page on my script because I can't remember any names. This is from, don't tell me. My pages are all screwed up. Clown Carbonara.
Yes.
And the show Pantalones?
That's exactly that's right.
No, that's right. You know, I have to tell you what I wrote here was Panicones. And I knew that was right. So we have Alexander Nolan. Hi, Alexander.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And do you go by Alexander?
I actually go by Xander, but I'll take it.
Xander. Yeah. Love that. And Kyle Romero.
Hello.
Do you go by Mero?
I just go by Kyle. You know, I'm sorry I don't have a cool nickname. I wish I did.
Stick with me.
I
don't go by anyway, so Clown Carbonara, is that part of, is that a Cold Town production or is it just performed at Cold Town?
It is currently performed at Cold Town. They are letting us use their cabaret space, which is this like really cool performance / restaurant space. And yeah, that's kind of what spawned the idea for this show.
Is there indeed food?
There will be types of food.
We can't. There's no food. Don't come expecting a meal. Please. Xander's being cute. We have to be clear. We will not be feeding you.
There's food for thought.
Exactly.
Yes, there we go.
Food for the soul.
Laughter.
Because it's not clear when you read this, when you read about it, I'm going, is there or is there not food? Because we talk about food.
Yes.
A lot.
Yes.
Is there carbonara?
No,
not even close.
Not even fake. No version of carbonara will be involved.
One could
in this.
Argue that we are all carbon based.
Yeah,
that's true.
So therefore,
which is of course the Italian carbonara is the Italian word for carbon, as we all know.
Yeah,
it is. So was this is this a brainchild of the two of you? There's a third person, correct?
There's several. We were an ensemble.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I would say the original idea, I would have to credit to Xander here.
Yeah.
Xander. You know, in the spirit of using the resources that you have, you know, saw that we had this space at Cold Town that used to be a restaurant, that's still set up like a restaurant, and we've been looking for kind of clowny show ideas, and we thought, let's take advantage. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So do we? So are we doing clown stuff?
Yes. I think.
Okay. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah. thank you.
I think the hesitance is such a broad definition. Yeah. You know, nobody can define.
It
used to be pretty clear. You put the red nose on. You put the pancake makeup
on.
So
what are we
talking
about? What kind of clown are we doing?
You know, it's very silly. We've kept that part of it.
Mm-hmm. Whimsical.
It's very whimsical.
Do we have red noses?
We don't, but we have red other. I'm wearing like a red bow tie. Yes. You know, sort of an homage. To the classical definition of clown.
A nod to clown.
Yes. Exactly, yeah.
Y'all probably don't know this, but I came this close to going to clown college.
Wow. Wow, dodge a bullet there.
Clowns were what you thought.
Yes,
so that was a close call. But that's great. And so what caused you to decide to want to do clowning?
I think I took a class with Chad Damiani. He's like a clown out of LA, and that kind of just spawned a lot of ideas for me to keep doing it, and I keep taking classes and gathering folks to do it with me. This is where this idea kind of spawned from.
Yeah, Xander and I are both we've longtime members of the Austin improv community, and you know, we've been doing that a long time, sketch comedy, and there's sort of this feeling going on right now of people going, there's got to be something. We're not pushing the envelope below, you know, we're not trying anything new. We're just stuck in the same old systems of developing work, and so we're hearing a lot of coming out of some of the bigger cities of people trying new things with clown techniques, and we're going, well, that sounds interesting. And they come here, they teach a few classes, we learn a few things, and this is our stab at sort of developing a show using some of those techniques, but also with some of the, you know, improv and sketch comedy training that we've had.
Will there be balloon animals?
Ooh, it never even came up. And I got to tell you, now that you're asking about it, I really wish it had.
Write it down.
You know, it's not too late. This thing's
I get program credit if it goes in. What about juggling? Is there juggling?
There is juggling.
Okay. Yes.
Juggling.
Yes. Not to spoil anything.
Chainsaws?
But, yeah. We're not quite there yet. I think just a couple more workshops and we might be ready to start juggling chainsaws.
Yeah. Have y'all performed this before, or is this the first time?
First iteration of this.
And that's September 6th, is that right?
Yeah.
Am I going by memory?
That's right.
Here?
Sundays in September.
So Sundays in September, every Sunday at Cold Town. Amazing. And are y'all, I'm assuming you're both performing in it.
I am not.
You're not.
Yeah,
you're
just
the
director.
Just
the brain man.
Just the director.
Just
of this one.
Director.
I had a rat character that we had for it. It was, our time was super long, and my intention initially was just to be a director for it. So I did cut the rat character.
Was it Ratatouille?
It wasn't Ratatouille. We did have that as a joke.
Sort of a rat in a smoking jacket, like enjoying his time lounging about the restaurant.
Yeah.
And we're all upset that he cut it, but you know, sometimes directors, they may, you know, they get these ideas in their head.
So, is there improv involved? Or is the production now scripted? I mean, I'm assuming improv was creating it.
Sure. Yeah. We have a structure of, you know, planned bits. So we have sort of a few segments that we've kind of thought, okay, well, this could be a game that we play with the audience or whatever it may be. But within the confines of that structure, that's all improvised.
So I could come see it every Sunday in September and see a different show.
That's exactly right.
100%.
Okay, good. Well, you know, I could just move in.
Feel free. I mean, the space isn't used.
Plenty
much
of room,
outside.
Yeah. We got nice booths you can lounge on.
I love that. I have to say this. This is another side tangent because that's all I ever do. But improv made me think of this. Those people that listen to the show a lot know that I'm addicted to TikTok.
Oh, yes.
And my algorithm has been feeding me something that is just so amazing, and it's improv, but it is two people doing a script.
Mm-hmm.
One person is on book. You know this, Xander. One person is on book, and one person is making it up, and they're doing classics. It is the best thing in the world. Have you ever done that? Have everybody seen this performed in live?
I have not. I love this format.
Yeah, don't steal it. I'm taking it.
Okay, well, we'll see who gets there first.
Yeah. I'll arm wrestle you. Yeah, did I describe that properly?
No, I think that was exactly right. Yeah. And, you know, I think if you ever wanted to do it, I don't see why we couldn't just do that at some point.
It seems to me, I wanted to see how it was set up, how they set it up, but it's wonderful because one of the people just read the lines from the script and another person just goes, and it's usually, as you know, with improv, many times there's that ridiculous character and a straight, and the off-character one's always the...
And many improvisers, we are not smart people, so we don't know the scripts that they're performing. You could do, you know, Death of a Salesman, and the other guy on the other end would be like, what's going on here?
Which I believe I saw.
Does the other person completely stay on script the whole time, no matter what the other one says?
Yes.
Yeah. I love this.
And in order.
I absolutely love this.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like I don't feel super confident with improv on my own, but I would do that. I would do either side of it.
That's great. It's really fun. So that's not our show. That's not what we're doing. Ours is very different. It's different every night, so maybe next week we will.
And so it's called Pantalones.
Yes.
Yes.
And is that pants, or is that the Pantalone character from...
It's an homage to that character.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Well, because, you know, we just had a group of kids on that are part of La Fenice, and they are a
Commedia
crew. This is what happens when you get old.
Again, we come from improv. We're not literary. We're not smart. We don't have a good work ethic. So our extent of knowledge of Commedia is there's a guy named Pantalones. And so that's kind of what we've built into our show. And that's the extent of it.
So your first show is this Sunday on the 6th.
That's right.
Yeah.
What time?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Well, that's better than 10 o'clock.
Yeah, no, you'll be out of there in time.
Those other people start at 10 o'clock.
Woo!
I'm asleep at 10 o'clock. And so for all Sundays in September,
that's right.
Yeah. At Cold Town. And where can folks go to get more information about the show?
ColdTownTheater.com.
ColdTownTheater.com. Well, thank y'all so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Sounds like a lot of fun. And when you need a shill to come on, I'm there for you.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you.
Okay, great. That was Xander Nolan, otherwise known as Alexander Nolan, and Kyle Romero of Clown Carbonaro's Pantalone, or as I like to call it, Pantacone.
We'll accept both at the show.
It's Sunday's actually pronounced Keanu.
Keanu.
Stop it. This hurts me. It's really sensitive. Sundays in September, starting on the 6th at Cold Town Theater. For more information, you may visit coldtowntheater.com. And this is, usually I play show tunes here, but this is from a group called the Spliffs. You know them.
Yes.
You know them. Do y'all know them?
I don't.
I didn't. The Spliffs. And this is called Carbonara. We'll be right back.
Amazing.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Merritt. Merritt, thank you so much for playing with us today.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for having me. It was amazing.
This was so much fun. And it's just very difficult to believe that I think the last time we saw each other was 10 years ago.
Probably.
In 2015.
I think I've seen you more recently than that.
Oh,
but,
maybe. You know, I'm face blind.
Yeah. Well, you were on Facebook, but... I've been to shows at the Ground Floor since then. Not in a while, but like I have. So okay. I probably saw you.
Well, you best come. I should say, I forgot to say it at the beginning of the show, so I'll just say it at the end. Kim Simpson did another wonderful international folk bazaar before our show. And coming up next here on Co-op, Tracy Schultz, you know what he's going to tell us?
What?
He's going to tell us what's new.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
In his show called... What's new? And so I decided to play a little song in honor of you because the last time that we spent any meaningful time together was in 2015 when Austin Theater Project was doing a production of Avenue Q, the second time you did it.
Yes.
At my theater.
Yes.
And you played Kate Monster, the star of the show. Right?
Yes. I loved playing Kate Monster. I love Kate so much. That was such a... amazing thing to get to do twice in my life.
Yeah, and I should just remind folks that it is playing right now at City Theater if you want to get an idea of what it's all about. But it's theater with puppets.
Yes, it's adult Sesame Street.
Politically incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot to ask them if their stuff was adult. I'm just going to assume it was.
Pro- Probably
the our last guest. So I can't just play regular Avenue Q. I'm playing from Avenue Q, Das Internet ist für Pornos, which is the Internet is for Porn in German.
In German.
We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Das Internet, das ist sensationell.
Für Pornos.
Ich warte nie, meine Leitung ist sehr schnell.
Für Pornos.
Ich weiß immer Bescheid.
Über Pornos.
In jeder Tageszeit.
Nur Pornos.
Und surf im Netz mit Lichtgeschwindigkeit.
Nach Pornos. Das Internet ist für Pornos. Das Internet ist für Pornos.
Was machst du da?